Welcome to Zichru Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today I'm with Sechus Brachas, Daf Mem Hey. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara seeks a source for the Mishnah's ruling that three people they bred together are obligated in joining a Zimun. Ravasi said the source is, Gadlu Hashem iti umaromo shmo yachtav. Declare in the plural the greatness of Hashem with me, and let us exalt his name together. Ravavo said the source is, Kishem Hashem ekro hovu godel elkenu. When I call it the name of Hashem, ascribe, that's in the plural, greatness to our God. So since the psukim describe one person talking to more than one person, in total we have three people. Number two, as explained above, the pasuk which teaches us to make a zimun is discussing at least three people. The Gemara then asks, well, what will then be the halacha if only two people ate together? So Rav is of the opinion that two people are permitted to make a zimun. Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that two people are not permitted to make a zimun. He says the verse of Gadlu Hashem iti implies that two additional people are being called to form the quorum. So two people only lack the requisite number of deos, that sense of making a quorum, and therefore they cannot join together to make a zimun. So once again, the first point is, what's the source that three people that ate together are chayv to make a zimun? And secondly, what is the din if two people want to come together to make a zimun? Rav says they can, Rav Yochanan says they cannot. Number three, when three people eat bread together, and two of them have now finished their meal, the third person is expected to interrupt his meal to join in the zimun. But when only one of them finishes meal, the other two are not obligated to interrupt their meal to make the zimun on his behalf. So once again, the 3 points are, what's the source that three people that eat bread together are chayv in making a zimun? Rav Asi says it's from Gadlu Hashem iti imromo shmo yachtav. Rav Avohu says it's from Kishem Hashem ekra hovu godel elkeinu. But in both psukim, one person is talking to more than one person, and therefore we have a total of three. Then we have the question, what about two people coming together? Can they make a zimun? Rav says yes. Rav Yochanan says no, because they lack the requisite number of deos, a sense of being able to make a quorum. And number three, when three people eat bread together and two of them have finished together their meal, the third person is expected to interrupt his meal to join in the zimun. But when only one of them finishes his meal, the other two are not obligated to interrupt their meal to make the zimun on his behalf. All right, so now we get to our simon. So the simon from Mem Hey is going to be Monopoly, the game Monopoly. I know it sounds a bit strange. There's a reason and rationale for this, but for the time being, we're just going to go with Monopoly. You may pronounce it Monopoly. We're going to pronounce it Monopoly. Here we go. So two of the three fathers were tired of waiting for the children's Monopoly game to end. So they forced the third one to join their zimun and declare Hashem's greatness and resolve that next time that only the two of them would eat together so as not to be obligated in a zimun. Once again, it's slow motion. Two of the three fathers were tired of waiting for the children's Monopoly game to end. So Monopoly means run, Daf Mem Hey. So they forced the third one to join their Zimun. So there we learned that when three people are together, two can force the third to join a Zimun, but one alone can't force the other two to make a Zimun. And declare Hashem's greatness, which is one of the psukim, which is brought as a source for making a Zimun, Gadlu Hashem iti, the other one being Kishem Hashem ekro, hovu godel elkeinu. And declare Hashem's greatness and resolve that next time that only the two of them would eat together so as not to be obligated in a zimun. That's Malchokas, whether two people can make a zimun. Rav says they can make a zimun. Rav Yochanan says they cannot make a zimun because they don't have the requisite quorum, the requisite number of deos to make a zimun. So once again, two of the three fathers were tired of waiting for the children's Monopoly game to end. So they forced the third one to join their zimun and declare Hashem's greatness and resolve that next time that only the two of them would eat together so as not to be obligated in a zimun. All right, so now we go to our four blat because we're beginning on Daf Mem Aleph. So the simon for Mem Aleph is a ma. We're using a grandma's. Here we go. That grandma, reminding us more on Daf Mem Aleph, couldn't decide which fruit to make the bracha on. Her favorite apple or the pomegranate. And he added the favorite apple as a suggestion, as per a suggestion from a Zichru member. I think it just brings out the point better. Her favorite apple or the pomegranate, which reminds us of a malchokas whether min shiva adif or min chaviv adif when you have several fruits in front of you. So she used her seven species ruler to measure which was larger, because we have the malchokas regarding what the items in the pasuk of the Zion meaning was here to teach us. Rav Yosef teaches that the order of foods listed in the pasuk indicate which foods attain precedence, the din kadima and brachas. The closer the food is to the term aretz or eretz, the closer the food is to the term eretz, the greater the precedence. Rav Chanan teaches that the purpose of the pasuk is to teach the measurements for different halachas, with each food item representing a different unit of measure. So she used her seven species ruler to measure which was larger and made a bracha on it during the course of her meal. Rabbi Papa stated that the following rulings regarding the brachas recited on foods eaten in the course of the meal. Foods that are eaten together with bread, which are eaten during the meal, do not require bracha, either before or after eating them. Foods that are not eaten together with bread, which are eaten during the meal, require bracha before eating them, but not after. And foods that are usually eaten after the meal, such as dessert, even when it's eaten during the meal, they do require a blessing before and after eating them. Daf Membeis. So the symbol for Membeis is a mobster. So here we go. As part of their initiation, the newly recruited mobsters, reminding us around Daf Membeis, were required to make a bracha for the group, which reminds us that the mission infers that in order for one person in a group to make a bracha for the others, the group must be reclining. There must be a seva, not just sitting. But the Gemara later concludes that if the group verbally states their intention to eat together, then sitting is considered like reclining. So they were required to make a bracha for the group on a meal's worth of pasa babekisnin, because the bracha of pasa babekisnin is generally mazonos, since it's usually eaten as a snack. But Rav Nachman rules that if one eats enough of it to establish a meal on, to be koveya suda on it, the bracha would be hamotzi. And then correctly guessed that my machronim is when the mob boss considers the meal over. Because we have the malchokas, when is a meal considered over, that one is required to stop eating and recite birkas amazon. Rav Huna says it's when one finishes eating the meal. Rav Papa says it's when the bread and food are removed from the table. Rav says that the guests are dependent on the host's intention. So that if the host brings additional portion to the table, even after the removal of the food and the bread, he still may be eaten. And Rav says that if one is accustomed to anointing his hands with oil on finishing a meal, then as long as he has not anointed his hands, he may continue eating even after he finishes the meal and even if after all the food is taken and removed from the table. But the Gemara concludes that the bracha follows that of Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, who says in the name of Rav that the washing the hands after the meal, my machronim, is followed immediately by birchas amazon, meaning that there may be no more eating after washing my machronim. Daf Mem Gimel. So the symbol for Mem Gimel, Daf Mem Gimel. So the symbol for Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here we go. The Frum Scratch and Sniff Spice magazine. So magazine reminds us, we're on Daf Mem Gimel. And the Frum Scratch and Sniff Spice magazine reminds us, this stuff talks about the various brachas we make for fragrances. Spring edition featured articles on how Talmidei Chachamim can avoid getting perfume on their clothes. Because we're taught there are six behaviors that are unbecoming for a Talmid Chacham. One, going into the street with perfumed clothes in a place where people are suspected of homosexuality. Two, going out alone at night, lest he's suspected of inappropriate behavior. Number three, going outside with patched shoes. Number four, conversing with a woman in the marketplace. Five, dining with Ami Arts, unlearned people, lest he be drawn after them. And number six, being the last to enter the base of Midrash, lest people consider him lazy. So the featured articles on how Talmid Chachamim can avoid getting perfume on their clothes so they don't get embarrassed in public. And that reminds us that Tamar was willing to be executed around the cause shame to Yehuda, because it teaches us that it's preferable to cast oneself into a fiery furnace rather than shame one's fellow in public, as well as where to find blossoming trees in the month of Nisan. Because we learned the bracha that one says when we see a fruit tree in blossom during Nisan. Daf Mem Dalet. So the symbol for Mem Dalet is mud. So here we go. The Jew in Chutz La'aretz had just concluded his bracha on Me'in Shalosh with the words of Al HaPeros, because he learned. The Gemara discusses the text of the bracha Me'in Shalosh, and it says that when one says the bracha in Eretz Yisrael on fruits, the bracha concludes with Al Perosel. In the Galus, in the diaspora, the bracha concludes with Al HaPeros. So once again, the Jew in Chutz La'aretz had just concluded his bracha Me'in Shalosh with the words of Al HaPeros when he began to reminisce fondly about trekking through the mud. The mud reminds me of Daf Mem Dalet. He trekking through the mud in Eretz Yisrael to eat the fruits of Genesar, because we were taught that the fruits of Genesar were so sweet it required salt to be eaten with it, but because it was so exceptional, when bread was eaten with the fruits of Genesar, the bread was considered tuffel to the fruits, which were considered ikker, and that's the salt that the Mishnah is talking about, the salty food the Mishnah is talking about. So to eat the mud in Eretz, trekking through the mud in Eretz Yisrael to eat the fruits of Genesar and making a brain of fashos on its water. We have a malchokas regarding when is a brain of fashos made. Rav Yitzhak Bar Avdim, he said in the name of Rav, it's made on eggs, on meat, but not on vegetables. Rabbi Yitzhak says, even on vegetables, but not on water. Rav Papa said, even on drinking water. So once again, the Jew in Chutz La'aretz had just concluded his bracha of Me'in Shalosh with the words of Al Peros when he began to reminisce fondly about trekking through the mud in Eretz Yisrael to eat the fruits of Genesar and making a brain of fashos on its holy water. Okay, so now it's time for a pop quiz of 10 questions. Here we go. Number one, which daf do we learn the bracha on fragrances? That's on daf Mem Gimel, good. Number two, where do we have the Malkokas, whether mean Shiva Adif or mean Chaviv Adif? That's on Daf Mem Aleph, good. Number three, where do we learn that there are certain times when one would make a motzi on Patz HaBaba Kisnin? That's on Daf Mem Beis. Good. Number four, where do we have the question what the bracha is on cooked vegetables? That's on Daf Lamed Ches. Great. Number five, which Daf do we learn about the fruits of Genesar being so exceptionally sweet that bread eaten with them would be tafel? That's on Daf Mem Dalet. Excellent. Number six, what are the machlokes regarding when a meal is considered over? That's on Daf Mem Beis. Good. Number seven, where do we have the machlokes regarding what the list of the Zayin Minim in the Pasuk teaches us? That's on Daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number eight, where do we have the machlokes regarding when one makes a Barena Fashos? That's on Daf Mem Dalet. Good. Number nine. Number nine, where do the machlokes regarding which tree was the Eitz Hadas? That's on Daf Mem. Good. And number 10, where do we learn that there are certain behaviors that are unbecoming to a Talmud Chacham? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Great. That concludes our pop quiz of Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu. Wishing you a great day and great learning.